بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are tuned in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. This morning we're talking about welcome back to school. So it's been about 3 months while the children have been in lockdown. They've been at home. It's been a very emotional time, a very anxious time. Lots of mixed feelings for teachers, for parents, and most definitely for the learners. What do we expect when we go back to school? Is it safe to go back to school? What is lockdown learning? Can't we do homeschooling? What is the new normal? All these questions we're hoping to answer for you today with my panel of experts, inshallah. As an educator myself, I must admit that I am a little bit disappointed with our minister's decision to not have grade ones returning back to school on Monday as was planned. Thursday, there was messages going around on the news that only grade R's, grade 6's and grade 11's will be expected to return back. This is relating to government schools. Now, being a grade 1 educator, that is my reason for being disappointed. I'm obviously missing my learners. We've already been at school for a month. We have witnessed the grade 7's get back into the system, adjust to the new normal. Alhamdulillah, the school that I'm based at, it's been successful. It seems to be. But I'm missing my learners. Alhamdulillah, I'm blessed to do what I love. I love teaching. I love being with the children. I miss their smiles. I miss their faces. I miss their stories. I miss teaching them and learning from them. So, you know, to the learners that are still at home, you know, to tell us more about how the education will be continuing with them, there's a thing called Learner Activity Packs, which Mr. Nazim Adam, our first guest, who is the principal of Impala Crescent Primary School in Indonesia, he's going to be telling us all about this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mr. Adam, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good to be on your show again.
It's always a pleasure having you on air with me. Now, Mr. Adam, you know, you've been part of the, you know, after the principals have met in Indonesia, you know, you've been part of the delegation that approached our district with the plans that LENS is proposing to do this coming week to welcome the learners, you know, taking into consideration transport, siblings, and obviously the circumstances that LENS are faced with. So I want to ask you, really, what do you think is the reason behind keeping the foundation phase behind and the
great ends? Maybe Aisha, I can only speculate that they did a risk assessment, and based on that, they felt that they were not ready to receive grade 1, 2, and 3 as they originally had envisioned. I think it's the times that we live in. We need to expect that changes will happen upon change and change again. So you have to be sure, you can't be 100% sure, but you have to be sure that all protocols are in place and people are ready to be received in a way that you can mitigate the spread of the virus. The virus is real. We're seeing the numbers. We were reading it on the screens and in the papers, but now it's a phone call from this neighbor or that neighbor or this family member or that family member. So in Gauteng, the virus is really real. In Western Cape, so my guess is that they took the right decision in terms of the risk factors given the spread of the virus.
Yes, most definitely. You know, and you know, with the reality being that you could have an educator call you and say, you know, Mr. Adam, I've tested positive, or somebody in my home is positive and I'm in isolation and I need to go for a test. So all of those, taking those factors into consideration as well, there must be a lot of planning, and it has to be done, like, you know, on that day regarding teacher absenteeism, because right now no teacher can be faulted because we're all in the same boat right now.
100%. We plan, but Allah is the best of planners, we know that. And our plans also, we must know that they have to change sometimes on the turn.
Yes.
So in terms of LENS, we were already in all of our public schools. We've been meeting online for the last 2 weeks. As principals, Mr. Naidu from Progress and one or two others were devised a return to school document. We evaluated that, and what we came up was what the department's also proposing after that, because they were fortunate enough to also be able to address it with the provincial planners. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to say that we have a blue and a red school. In simple terms, each class and each grade, in each grade gets divided into two, and we have a list of blue learners who are coded blue and a list of learners who are coded red. And the blue learners start on the 6th and they continue till the Friday, the 10th, and then they get a package to go home with, because the next week the red group comes in and they continue class-based face-to-face learning, and so it would alternate for the next 10 cycles in terms of our plan up until the end of the year.
So basically the learners attend school, like if we're looking at a month with say 4 weeks, they basically come to school 2 weeks, and in the time they're at home they would probably get activities of consolidation exercises while they're at home.
100%. But also we discuss issues and protocols around not overburdening parents, because some parents are getting back to work.
Yes.
And are setting up timetables and guiding parents in terms of how to manage the learning at home, the home-based learning. So that was from our initiative in the community. And we were ready and gearing to go. And then we realized that only grade R and grade 6 will join the grade 7s and grade 11 will join the grade 12s.
Yes.
The difficulty with that approach was that while we had only grade 7s and only grade 6s all returning, we could use some of our other teachers to sort of buddy teach with the matric teachers.
Mm.
But if the whole school comes back, that buddy teacher has to manage their own blue class or red class for that week. And with social distancing, our matric classes, we would need extra support for that. That wasn't ironed out, and the high schools were working an alternative plan to try and see how they manage the learners coming in from grade 12.
Yes. How has it been for your grade 7s, you know, when they've came back to school, like the first day? I remember we spoke the Saturday before children were returning back to school. I had you on air and I did tell you that I was going to call you back and we were going to talk about that experience. Just for parents that are listening right now, what was it like for the first day? Have the grade 7 settled in? How's the anxiety levels? How's the attendance been?
Yeah, Vyasha, it's been not everyone has returned to school. Mm-hmm. So for our example, your school, our school, we're probably sitting at about 80% return.
Yes.
Of grade 7s. Other schools, much less, and also some declining numbers based also on the fact that there were cases in some of the schools. So what happened was the first week, I think that just adjusting for the children and the teachers was pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to keep it simple. We tried not to overburden them, no forced testing and, class tests and all of that, just basic reading, learning, some activities. It's very difficult for a child to sit in one place for the whole day. In terms of the social distancing with the bigger ones, they understand it, but you've got to remind them. Same with washing hands and wearing the mask. So there's constant reminders. But in terms of their approach to learning, I can tell you it's down in terms of the children are not engaging as much as we hope to. And we've had also a lot of calls from parents who say, can't you support our learning at home?
Yes.
Anxiety levels are high. Yesterday I got called by one of the teachers and said, please just speak to this class. They are a little concerned because they heard a rumor about this or this or that. Mm. So I had to go in and just explain to them how we act when we take a precautionary measure. It might just be sinus or it might be something else. And then we follow through and we do isolation and we call in the parents. But it's precautionary. It's not that anyone is necessarily positive. We're not medical doctors. So then a little bit of their fears were alleviated and they understood, you know. But it's going to be like that. It's not going to be easy to get back to school.
Even definitely.
Sixers coming in next week. I don't expect 100% or even 80%, but I do think that it's going to be tougher with the smaller ones to try and get them engaged and to get them seated. They want to be with their friends. We are social beings by nature. So it's going to be tight.
I think more than anything for the smaller ones, it's, you know, they're so used to getting hugs from their teachers. I'm a chronic hugger. Like I told you, I need to learn to stop that. Well, I've been forced to stop that. But the thing is that they want to hold you. They want to, you know, when they fall down or they're not feeling well, they want to be comforted. They want to share their lunch with their friends and their stationery. So, you know, we were preparing ourselves to obviously do this orientation with them in this week, about reminding them about social distancing. And it's something that, you know, parents, while your children are at home, you can take this opportunity to speak to your children about that, that you can't just go and hug your friend. You can't be sharing lunch with your friend and the reason why we can't. So those are constant reminders that parents can do at home. And obviously at school, that's what we're going to try to do. Mr. Adam, a very important question that I need to ask you. A lot of parents, and, you know, based on our interaction with them as well at my school, where parents want to know, can I keep my child at home? It's okay, my child can repeat the year. I'm very afraid. And then again, with regulations, because you will obviously be the best person to answer this question, children can stay at home if they have a comorbidity. This is my understanding. And obviously, that comorbidity has to be written out by a doctor explaining the situation. So if you can just maybe explain to the learners, under what conditions can a child remain at home?
Okay. Vivasha, this is a very important question. We're inundated with calls around this. So I'm going to try and summarize it as best as I can. We will be posting something on our website this week.
Yes.
As guidance, if people want to check on the ICPS, Impala Crescent Primary School website. Mm-hmm. We expect the government will also be issuing new regulations. One, you have two choices according to the GDE. One, you can apply for home learning, which means like you would have in 2000, apply to school from home, you know, homeschooling. So that's one option for you. So you opt to do all homeschooling on your own and manage it yourself. The other option is called lockdown learning, which you have to apply for on the same application for homeschooling. So if you go onto the website for the GDE, so it's education.gauteng.gov.za. Mm-hmm. You education.gauteng.gov.za, apply for homeschooling and complete that application. And you should, it's anyone who is infected or affected by COVID-19. That's my reading. So I can't see anyone not affected.
Of course. Obviously,
certain circumstances, parents feel it's best if the child is at school than at home because they're going to get a better return on that that time that the child is spent learning. I would say that if you are infected with COVID-19, if you are a person under investigation, so you don't know yet, but you're showing symptoms, and if you have comorbidities, it's your right to apply for that. If I send the child home and I say you go to quarantine for 14 days, then obviously I need to also provide some work for that person. We are not ready as a system to do all that we are expected to do, but we are getting there.
Yes.
So it is the parents' right, and I think from all of us, we've been speaking as educators and as parents as well, we will respect the decision of the parent. Like I say, for some parents, you're going to get more traction and more development with your child if they're at school, and for others who have the ability to support them at home, they may get better support there. The important thing is they're going to have to register on the government website for this and apply for it.
Now, Nazim, I need to ask you another question, right? Because this is also something that parents have been inundating schools with. We've been getting, you know, lots of parents calling that if they take the option where they say that they're not going to do homeschooling, they're going to do, like, say, lockdown learning, you know, the other option, they still remain on the school register, am I correct? So when it's time for assessment and say your name is on the blue list, you will still come in and write your assessment?
Because 100%, all assessments will need to negotiate it with the school and arrange. I would expect to make special arrangements for comorbidities where they are totally isolated when they do come in for the assessments. But lockdown learners would probably have to come in for the assessment.
But if you are homeschooled, then obviously your assessment, basically, if you take the option of homeschooling, you are off the school register and you are now doing this on your own.
Yes. So for homeschooling, it's deregistering from the system the way I read it.
Yes.
Lockdown learning, you remain on the system and you get assessed via the school. But in both instances, the parents take full assumption and responsibility for the learning of their child. So there's no accountability to the school or to the educators for their child's learning or performance.
Okay. Nazim, on a personal level, being a principal at a school in Indonesia, in a public school, during this entire experience that you've been at school thus far, what are two things that you've learned for yourself as a person that you would like to share with our listeners this morning before I let you go?
I think we need to be practical. We need to be respectful. We need to listen to the voices around us. We need to be guided sometimes by our teachers. They have fantastic ideas and solutions. We need to keep looking to move forward. The one thing I've learned is that from day one of the lockdown is that we have to find ways to move forward in with the capacity that we have. And there may be hitches in the road, there may be shutdowns and reopenings, but we got to just keep trudging along. And we will find that every day is a new day, every day is a new challenge. We must go with the mindset that we will overcome this. This season will pass, and inshallah, we will get back to a normal way of living where we can socialize, interact, grow together as people. It's hard, I know. I know some days are pretty difficult. There are some teachers and some parents that are really anxious. We need to respect that. We need to listen to each other. There's no space to get argumentative and to get abusive. We just need to listen to each other and follow the protocols, respect each other, communicate.
I think that's the most beautiful, greatest advice that you can give. And in all honesty, us as educators, we also have our moments. We also have this meltdown when we hear of our colleagues that maybe having family members who have tested positive, and obviously you see the fear and anxiety in their eyes. It's that waiting period when you're waiting for somebody to come back and tell you, listen, I'm negative. That's the dua you're making. It's a very unsettling time for us as educators as well. And that's also a reminder to parents. And I must also admit, you know, never in my teaching career as yet have I ever been in a classroom where there has been less than 38 children. So the thought of having 20 children at a time, like I told you the last time, is something that I'm really, really looking forward to. And, you know, we make dua to the Almighty to, inshallah, guide us, inspire us, increase us in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding so that we can impart it to the youth that we are, that are in our care, inshallah.
Inshallah. My dua is everyone stay protected, take the necessary precautions, wear your mask, wash your hands, sanitize, and keep a distance. Teach this to our children. You can even, when you get back to school, the children are going to see lots of insulation tape marks on the floor, little signs where they must stand. It's very regimented. You can start playing games in your house around those things. Make a routine for washing hands. Make sure they wear a mask when they leave the house. Do the things that will just orientate them to a new normal. And also keep reminding them, remember that we are forgetful, and we have, for us to establish these new values, going to take time, reminders, and lots of patience.
Definitely. Jazakallah khairan, Mr. Adam. All the best to you and your staff and to all the educators around there that will be welcoming the learners back, the grade sixes, the grade Rs, the grade 11s on Monday. You know, the grade sevens already in the matriculants. You know, may Allah guide us all, protect us all, and grant everybody ease, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan.
It's a pleasure. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
To our beloved listeners, there is the guidelines that will be taken at the public schools in Indonesia. I'm sure many other government schools around South Africa will be following the same model. Inshallah, after the ad break, we will be speaking to Brother Imran Karolia, who is a high school English teacher, and he'll be talking to us about the procedure for grade 11s and matriculants, as well as Maulana Yusuf Azvat, who is the deputy principal at Benoni Muslim School, who will be explaining to us the procedure that has been adopted at that school, inshallah. We will be returning shortly. Jazakallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Leher. And this morning we're talking about welcome back to school. So on Monday, the 6th of July, the grade R learners, grade 6s and grade 11s are expected to return back to school. Grade 12s and grade 10s in government schools have already been at school. Obviously, with the private schools, they work a little differently, but we're going to learn more about that shortly. So now we're going to be speaking to Brother Imran Karolia. Now, Imran Karolia is a high school English teacher, and he's going to be telling us what it's been like being at school, have the grade 12 settled in, and just give us some idea of the model of teaching and learning that has been adopted in that area at a government high school. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Imran, and how are you this morning?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Great being on your show, Sister Bibi Aisha. And alhamdulillah, it's been a good morning so far.
Alhamdulillah. Always a pleasure having you with us, Imran. Now, you know, you have a big advantage as an online educator, you know, Creative Star student, to say, as well as an educator who's face-to-face with learners. So I'm going to put you in the hot spot here. For being, you know, like I said, an online educator and being face-to-face with the learners, how do I ask you which one is better? I know it's a very difficult question, but let's try. Go for it.
Okay, so when it comes to, choosing between the two, given a pandemic, given a crisis that we're facing right now, I think it really comes down to the mindset of the individual learner. The individual learner who will understand right now that, you know, learning has to continue. And when you have the two options, I mean, if you're in a particular grade, you certainly don't have an option. But if you are, for example, in grade 12 and you have become exposed to some of the online resources, online methodologies of teaching, etc., learners find that they actually, you know, would love the alternative now, have gotten used to the alternative. And I think either way, it's about making progress and making sure, look, safety first, but then thereafter, when it comes to your education and your academics, for example, it must continue, and consistency is everything at this time.
Most definitely, very important. Now, you are based at a high school, a public high school. The grade 12s are already at school. You have been interacting with them. You've been teaching them. Have they settled in during this past month? What is the new normal been like for them?
You know, I must be honest with you. There are some challenges that I personally have experienced on a daily basis. I mean, firstly, when you actually go back to school and you're welcoming this cohort of learners, the grade 12 class, the class of 2020, I mean, firstly, the orientation is so important. And I think every day thereafter, and it's been a month now, I think just reinforcing the messaging, it's about what we as educators would actually hear off in the news, etc. And I think this week there's been quite significant announcements coming from, you know, the Gauteng province itself. Mm-hmm. And it's about communicating that in class. So I think the classroom atmosphere now, I would agree with your previous guest, Mr. Nazim Adam, that, you know, learners aren't that engaged as they were before. This thing about COVID-19, the coronavirus, it's on your mind every single day, every single period, if not every single minute, you know, and you basically trying to take this atmosphere and turn it into a positive learning environment. And I think as a teacher, it's so important to do that, but also reinforcing, for example, safety procedures, etc. Some of the challenges, Sister Bibi Aisha, I must be honest with you, I never realized how difficult is it to teach with something covering your mouth. For example,
absolutely.
If you're wearing the visor, if you're wearing the shield, for example, I mean, it's nice to do it as a teacher, but you're not protecting the learners who would sit right in front of you. It's amazing how much we lip read from one another, you know, and that enables, you know, better communication, etc. So there are challenges there. And I think what we do as educators is that we basically take the policy, we take the guidelines, the brief that we, you know, supposed to adhere with. And what we do is
we just make it work. Okay, Imran, I need to ask you, right, the attendance thus far at the school where you're based, has it been, has it been going fluctuating? What has it been like?
Of course, it's been fluctuating. Well, if you take the grade 12 class at the school where I'm teaching in the Ekurhuleni South, for example, I'll just give you a little bit of a stat to say that only 85% of grade 12 learners came back.
Okay.
Now, I think the follow-up is quite important to find out, you know, you need to provide proof that you actually went to the district, you went to the education department, and what is the, you know, the plan forward for the learner who hasn't come back. And then on a daily basis, I mean, obviously screening done in the morning, the policy is that you would send someone home with a temperature of 38 degrees plus, degrees Celsius plus. At our school, we've adopted 37.5. So there have been a few instances where learners have been isolated in the morning. Obviously, they've been really, really scared. Mm. You know, just saying that, you know, it could have been an ordinary fever. Alhamdulillah, we've been COVID-free so far. But it does fluctuate on a daily basis with learners staying absent.
I can imagine. And also, you know, my next question to you is what policy or teaching model has your school and the schools in your area adopted, in the sense that obviously matriculants, I'm assuming, would have to be there every day, but with grade 11s, would they be there on alternate days, alternate weeks? What is the model that's been adopted?
You know, I share your sentiment at the beginning of the show that we were so disappointed by the announcement that grade 10s were not coming back.
Yes.
We were so prepared for them. The classes were set up in such a way. You know, when it comes to the policy, making sure that there's obviously distancing between the desks, for example, depending on class sizes. I mean, my principal walked past, for example, and there was like, you know, a 1.2 distance from head to head if a child has to sit in the chair. And he says, we need to actually, you know, further that. And alhamdulillah, we've come up with about, say, a 1.5 distance there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously at our school now, I mean, we have teacher capacity, we have classroom capacity to have welcomed grade 10, 11, and 12, mm-hmm. and not, for example, miss any days. However, when the 8s and 9s come back, then we do have to consider platoon system. I don't know if it's going to be weekly as suggested by a previous guest.
Yes.
You know, we're still waiting on that announcement, but I think it will be alternate days in our case.
Okay, and obviously the curriculum has been amended. It has to be, except for the matriculants.
Except for the matriculants. So they're still continuing with everything. Very difficult to actually complete so much of syllabus coverage, you know, given absenteeism, given learners who are not so engaged, etc. But alhamdulillah, we try our best. And when it comes to grade 10s and 11s, look, they're only coming, the grade 11s are only coming on Monday. So I think it will be quite important to see what's been left out.
Mm.
Although, you know, considering them not only as the grade 11s of 2020, but more importantly, the grade 12 class of 2021, and some of those concepts and some of the things that we learned, for example, in grade 11 as a platform for grade 12, it's quite important that we cover that, even for the grade 10 class now, who will be the matric class of 2022. That's
Inshallah.
Inconsistency is everything.
Yes, yes. Okay, before you leave, Imran, I just have to ask you, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Nazim. What have you learned as an educator during this lockdown period? If you can share with me one lesson very quickly of what have you learned during this period?
Oh, okay. But here's the thing. Let me put it to you this. This new normal, going to school and just coming home is just so much more of an effort. We have to be so careful. You know, I'm trying to explain to the learners too that if you have to touch a door handle in school, I mean, it's over. You know what I mean? We have to be so careful. We have to be so mindful every minute of every day. The social distancing, you know, the covering of our mouths and our noses, for example. I think you can become accustomed to it, but I think the greatest lesson I learned is how careful we have to be when we leave our homes and how careful we have to be when entering our homes. And I think it's so important to protect our families, protect the people we live with, but also go to school and protect the people you're interacting
Definitely.
With.
Definitely. Like you say, my mask protects you and your mask protects me. Jazakallah khair, and always a pleasure engaging with you on air, Imran. May Allah take you from strength to strength and reward you in abundance for educating and empowering our youth.
Ameen, thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, to our listeners, and our final guest for this morning is Maulana Yusuf Asfat from Benoni Muslim School. Maulana is the deputy principal at the Benoni Muslim School, and he's also the head of Islamic Studies. Now, obviously, Benoni Muslim School is a private school, and there has been a little bit of changes with regards to how their children have been welcomed into school, but he's inshallah going to be telling us about it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Malana, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Shukr alhamdulillah, but like I said, I am a bit disappointed that I don't get to see my 41 munchkins. I'm really disappointed. They've been sending me messages that they are tired of their parents and they need to come and fetch them. So for now, I think myself and my learners need to make some sabr.
Alhamdulillah. But, all teachers, I think, feel that anxiety and they miss their children.
We do, especially with our little ones. I'm sure, obviously, yourself, you know, when you engage with your learners, the older, I mean, all the learners that we educate, you become like their parent in absentia. So you miss them, you pray to Allah that they are safe, and you want to be with them, knowing that they're okay.
Definitely, and I think there's no educator that hasn't, missed their children and would like to see their children back at school. It
Definitely.
Is what we do. And, it is just how our life is actually, structured around these children.
Alhamdulillah. Shukramla, we are blessed. Alhamdulillah. And, we say when you're blessed to do what you love, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everyone's efforts, inshallah. Now, Malana, you are at Benoni Muslim School, and your school has already welcomed back the grade 12s, 11s, grade 3s, 6s, and 9s in June. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay. How have the learners settled in? Are they managing with social distancing? How's the anxiety levels, attendance levels? If you could please just share with us.
Alhamdulillah, being a private school and working with, we've got approximately, our school has approximately 850 children.
Sure.
That are registered from grade RR to matric. And alhamdulillah, our classes, we have 3 units each of most classes at our school. And, when this whole lockdown thing came about and the COVID thing, the new word that we learned and the new terminologies and COVID and sanitizing and, these are the 2020 words that we've actually learned very, very well.
Yes.
And, the disruptor of life and disruptor of 2020 is actually COVID has been the disruptor of the year. And, alhamdulillah, we were sitting in lockdown, engaging in Zoom lessons and online teaching with our learners. Alhamdulillah, our teachers came on board very, very quickly, learning how to go about the different platforms that we have. And approximately around the 4th of May, our management then returned to school. And alhamdulillah, our principal, who you know very well.
Alhamdulillah, Yamin brother Yamin Lehe, yes.
Under his leadership, alhamdulillah, we have a very, very dedicated, enthusiastic, robust management team of 9 members. And alhamdulillah, there's a lot of discussion and goes well. And, working with them, I really believe in them as a team.
Yes.
To get things done. Alhamdulillah, all our decisions are very, very calculated decisions. There's a lot of debate about what is right and what is wrong, and all in the interest of our children. We came to school very, very anxious on our first day.
Yes.
And what is stepping out of your home after 3 weeks or rather 5 weeks? You come into school, you're sitting there, you're wondering where are we going to? Everybody's got masks on. Now we've got to sanitize. Now they're screening us. Walking into a school which I've been there 20 years, and it seems like the day one that I'm walking in to a new building.
And it's so good that you're saying that, because I felt exactly the same on the first day when I returned to school. It's like a place that's so familiar suddenly became so unfamiliar.
And we had to adjust because now, it's a new way of life, if I may put it to you in that way. And, we had to get to grips with things. Are we allowed to do this? Can I touch this? Can I do this? I mustn't do this. I mustn't forget my mask. It became that sort of a thing. So there was a lot of anxiety from our side. It was nerves. We were worried stepping into the unknown, of course. Uncharted waters. We don't know where we're going to with our children. Alhamdulillah, we sat down and we started putting things into perspective. The COVID teams, were set up, setting up our policies, our processes, our procedures, the infrastructure, what we need to do. So, there was a lot of work, adjusted timetables, marking the classes, getting things organized. And alhamdulillah, getting the go-ahead from the district, you know, coming in. And
you shukar know, alhamdulillah, you got alhamdulillah. There.
So everything got done. And, you know, that is how then we started our process, you know, bringing our children into school. Looking at the attendance of our children, as you had asked me about the grade 12s and grade 7s coming into school, those were the first children, and of course, it came into school. They were very, very anxious. We had Zoom meetings before they returned to school with parents to comfort the parents, you know, to speak to parents, to, you know, to let them know that it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be anxious. It's okay to have nerves and worry about your children coming to school. And it's okay for the kids as well to leave home after so long. We send out videos explaining how the entire process is going to work and unfold. And alhamdulillah, you know, our grade 12s returned full of mixed emotions, fearful, anxious, excited to see their classmates after a long time. But of course, the protocols, don't shake hands, don't do
this. True. Having to adjust. You know, alhamdulillah, I've managed to watch the videos that Binoni Muslim School has sent out to parents. And it was very, very reassuring. You know, the procedure was very, simplified. And I'm sure that also made it much easier for parents to be calm and also for your students. But, Malana, just a few questions that I have to ask you. With regards to the procedure to follow for a comorbidity, is it the same when it comes to the government school, where obviously they need to present a doctor's letter saying that a child is not, unable to come to school for health reasons?
See, you see, like the first principal, I think, Dr. The principal, I just can't.
Mr. Nazim Adam, G.
Yeah, Mr. Nazim Adam. Alhamdulillah, just the way that they have it, that is the government regulation. So a child has an option. One is full-time attendance where you come into school. Then you have the lockdown learning where the parents decide, I need to keep my child at home. And then, of course, home education where the parent will now take responsibility for the total education. So part of lockdown learning is your children with comorbidities and how we are going to accommodate those children in our system.
Mm-hmm.
And accommodating these children within our system is very, very important. If there's a child that has an underlying condition, then, of course, the child will not attend school. However, we've put to parents, you know, to assist the child in the best possible way. So a child has an underlying condition. It is the child cannot come to school. Inshallah, our teachers will send the
learning activity packs, yes,
to the learners, probably on a WhatsApp platform, explaining the lesson and what needs to be done. And the parent will have to, of course, monitor the child at home while the child is working.
But okay.
any assistance that the child requires, they're welcome to contact the teacher. But that's for the child that has a doctor's letter and has been approved, has been approved to remain at home, as opposed to a child who just decides that I don't want to come to school
anymore.
Yes. There's a huge difference between the two. And, you know, just being afraid is not a reason not to come to school.
Exactly.
However, there are certain reasons where we need to take cognizance of and we need to assist our children in the best possible way.
Well, and I also needed to ask you, the teaching model that has been adopted by Binoni Muslim School. So do learners come to school or expected to come to school daily? Are the classroom numbers, you know, small? You have 850 learners, which is very close to the population we have at Alpha Prom. At Alpha Primary School. So what would you be doing? Do they come on alternate days? Do they come on alternate weeks? What is the plan?
So when we sat down with our team and we decided, you know, how we're going to go about things, there's many options we looked at. One is the alternate week where children can come 1 week in and 1 week off, which mm-hmm. means that you're actually having a 1 week holiday. And then to get you back into the routine is going to be another mission on its own. Then we have the two session day, like a platooning. Some children come in the morning and some come up from 11 o'clock, which we found that is very exhausting for our teachers as well.
Yes.
To be teaching in that way. We decided to go with an option which we call the alternate day, 10-day program.
Mm-hmm.
So just like how Mr. Adam explained that we had the blue group and the red group. So our classes actually, we have approximately 25 to 30 children in a class. So what we've done is split it exactly halfway. So you have the blue group and you have the red group.
Okay.
And we've given days for, so in a two-week cycle, so we work over a two-week cycle, which means in 10 school days, you will come to school 5 days. So assume the blue group begins. The blue group comes Monday, Wednesday, Friday. They come Tuesday and Thursday the following week.
Okay.
Then the red group will do Tuesday, Thursday.
And they and do Monday. The same thing, but yes. Not alternate weeks.
So that means that you're getting your full week of teaching. You're getting your full week of education only split over 2 weeks, which gives us less children in the class. And alhamdulillah, we managed to increase the distance of 1.8 meters
that
between
is brilliant. Malala, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show. I'm just going to ask you quickly, like in 5 seconds, okay, maybe a bit, little longer. I'll give you like 30 seconds. A quick positive message to the parents that are listening in on what, you know, something motivating for them, because there are parents that are obviously afraid. Obviously, if it's learners that are in grade ones, they would be a bit nervous. Quickly, what would you like to say to them before we end the show?
Is that teachers are really excited to have their children back at school. And teachers generally love their children. And your kids are in safe hands with your teachers. Remember, teachers have families. They need to make sure that the environment is as safe for their families as well.
Definitely.
So in this way, it's very, very safe. And it gives your children a different perspective, gets them onto the road. And no matter the difficulty, we need to continue with life.
Jazakallah khair, Malala. May the Almighty bless you and the dynamic team at Benoni Muslim School for the outstanding work that you are doing in educating and empowering our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everybody's efforts, inshallah, and keep us all safe, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To our beloved listeners, may Allah make it easy for the youth that will be starting school again. Those that are at school, may Allah make it safe for you. Remember us in your du'as as we remember you in our du'as too. Inshallah, we will be talking again next week. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.